Good morning.
The notices for the coming week are as follows. On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday the 21st, the church cafe will be held at 10 a.m. in the church hall, alongside the craft group at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday service will be led by Tony and Owenna Finch, and the worship warriors will also meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Now, I have a rather long notice now about church membership. I believe, is it up there? Yes. So I'll read it out. Don't follow along because I might miss something out by accident. Membership course, becoming a member. What does it involve? What are the privileges of church membership? What are the responsibilities? These are some of the questions that you may have. It may be you'd like to find out more. Maybe you're unsure about becoming a member. And if at the end of the course you decide not to, then that's okay. Or you might already be a church member and would like a refresher, and that's okay too. Each week we'll cover one or two areas, i.e. prayer, using my gifts that will help us to find out, deepen our knowledge of what the privileges and responsibilities of church membership are and involve. And we'll all have an informal discussion, look at any questions we might have, and share our experiences. If there's enough interest, a membership course will start in September, over 6 weeks on either Monday or Thursday evenings. If you're interested in attending to learn more about church membership or would like a refresher, please speak to Dave Lee and let him know your preferred day of the week. There will be a slideshow at the end of the service as a reminder to let Dave know if you're interested. I don't think I missed anything out, so thank you for listening. It's my pleasure to welcome this morning Esther. It's lovely to have you back with us again. But before Esther comes to speak to us, Krista would like to come and say a few words of thanks.
Hi. As most of you know, that I asked Nick to put a request for me online, and many of you have prayed for me because my blood pressure was here, there, and everywhere. So I thank you for praying, and that God has been with me and sustained me. So I give God thanks and glory, honor, and praise, and thank you to all of you again. Bless you.
What a lovely way to start, remembering God's grace and that he is a good God indeed. Thank you for inviting me back. My name, as just said, that's Esther. I'm Esther Meininger, and I've come from Quinton Park Baptist Church in Charlesmoor, and it's really good to be with you again this morning. And as we start, I thought we'd just take a moment. People will have come in with different things. You've had different kinds of weeks, all of us. Maybe difficult, maybe you're full of thanksgiving. But we come here and we set aside this time to focus our minds on that amazing God who answers prayer, who does the impossible. And there's a verse here from Titus that I thought I'd start with. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray as we start. Oh, Father, we do take a moment to focus, to lay at the foot of the cross anything that is weighing on us this morning, and to remind ourselves that you are Lord. You are the God who showed such great mercy in dying for us, in forgiving our sins, in washing us clean, in filling us and giving us life to the full. So, Father, we set aside this time and we come together as a body of Christ because we want to lift your name high and worship you as Lord of our lives. Take our worship, Lord, we pray. May it be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Please sing.
I'm going to play this all the way through, just one verse, for those who are not familiar with it.
So, I don't see any younger people, but that's okay, we'll carry on anyway. So, brought my rucksack today. I don't know if any of you are hikers. Anyone enjoy a good walk? Yeah, excellent. Feel comfortable carrying this rucksack if it was full all day? What about if I... What about if I filled it with these? Less so, maybe, less so. Sometimes leaders, like your trustees maybe, or your children's workers, or those who run the cafe and the different responsibilities that different people have in the church, they carry a big weight. They do jobs for Christ, and it is a huge privilege to do those jobs. There's a huge joy in knowing that you're using your gifts to serve him, isn't there? But sometimes it can, I think, feel a little bit like carrying a rucksack full of bricks. Does anyone relate? Well, maybe you're not putting your hands up, but I reckon some of you do. I reckon some of you do. But God doesn't put us to those leadership roles on our own, does he? He puts us in churches. And that's the amazing truth about being in the body of Christ. Because if I was carrying this rucksack, and if it was full of bricks, and then one of you stood one side, and one of you stood the other side, and you each kind of held the rucksack from underneath, how much easier would that be to carry that weight? And there's this verse in the Old Testament, in Exodus, about Moses, and I'm sure many of you know the story. Moses was one of God's chosen leaders. And God said to him, my people are in battle against their enemies. And whilst they're in battle, I need you to hold up a staff. And when you're holding up the staff, my people will be winning the battle. And if your arms get tired and the staff lowers, at that point, my people will start losing the battle. And at the beginning, Moses was holding it up high and they were winning. But his arms did get tired. And then two of his friends came along, Aaron and Hur. And one went one side and one went the other side. And they physically held up Moses' arms so that that staff was raised high and God's people won the battle. There is an amazing power in supporting one another in the body of Christ. And we can all do that. We all play our part. And that's one of the things we're going to be focusing on later. But let's just pray as we carry on at this point. Father, we do thank you that we're not on our own. We're part of a body of Christ. And this is your body here in this place at this time. Each person here this morning and those that aren't here this morning, you have chosen to be part of this body of Christ here for such a time as this. And some of us have responsibilities within this church in leadership, and others have responsibilities in supporting those people and holding arms when they become tired. So I pray, Lord, that we would recognize the power that is within us to encourage, to support one another, so that we can be the people that you want us to be in this place and for our community, that all might know that Jesus is indeed Lord. Amen. Amen. I think we're going to sing again, aren't we, Dave?
Yeah, yes.
Thank you.
I think we should have done the collection in that. Is that right? We'll do it. Carry on playing. And carry on playing. And perhaps I'll just mention something as you're playing, because I didn't know this song. And I was listening to it this morning on YouTube to familiarise myself with it, and then singing it all the way here in the car. And the line that really stuck with me was that line towards the end, "Grace that blows all fears away." And I think many of us have fears, don't we? Probably all of us. And I was reflecting on, why is it? What is it about grace that blows our fears away? And I think it's just, you know, when you reflect on grace, everything we have is given to us by God. We don't deserve any of that. All of his love, all of his goodness, all of his faithfulness, everything we have is by grace. And when you reflect on that, the fears just get smaller, don't they? Because he has supported us, equipped us for everything that we've been through. He's been faithful through all things. So it just reminds me, whatever those fears are, they don't go away, maybe. They're not, but for a time, while we focus on his grace, they just get so much smaller. And that's an amazing truth, isn't it? Grace that blows our fears away. So, yeah, we carry on. We'll do the collection, and then I'll say a prayer. Father, we do stand in awe before you for all that you have given us by grace. And these gifts, Lord, are just a small token of what we give back to you. But we give you not just our monetary gifts, Lord. We are here this morning to offer you ourselves. All that we are, Lord, we give back to you in service to you, that your name would be lifted high in this place. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Going to come to our prayers now, and we're going to focus on prayers for leaders. It says in 1 Timothy 2, "I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." I'm going to start with a prayer that was released by the Evangelical Alliance a few weeks ago when we gained our new Prime Minister. Father, we pray for our new Prime Minister, Andy Burnham. We pray that you would give him wisdom to lead with integrity, with mercy and courage to seek justice, and with humility to lead sacrificially in the days ahead. We pray that the task of leadership wouldn't feel full just on him alone, but that he would still be building and nurturing a good team around him. And we pray for our country, Lord. We pray that we would live in peace, that we would love our neighbour, that we would care for the most vulnerable in our society. We pray that our lives and our politics would be characterised by biblical values of compassion, truth, and hope. May we, your church, play our part in influencing and transforming society in the season ahead. And if we focus on our world, as we pray for world leaders, perhaps just bring one world leader to mind. Doesn't matter if you support them, agree with them or not. It doesn't matter if they're a Christian or not. We pray, Lord, for that leader, that if they're a Christian, they would deepen their faith and become more like Jesus. If they're not a Christian, we pray that Jesus would break into their life. Whoever they are, we pray that that world leader would strive for peace and not power. We pray that they would serve in humility, that they would care for the most vulnerable, that their decisions would be guided by mercy and fueled by your supernatural wisdom. And we pray that you would put men and women around them who are of faith, and that you would give them open hearts to hear and heed the wisdom from others. We pray for this city and leaders here, whether that's leaders in our council or business leaders or leaders of educational institutions or healthcare trusts. Lord, leaders often face very difficult decisions. We pray that you would give leaders of Coventry courage to stand for truth, even when that might be unpopular. Help their actions to be rooted in justice and fairness. Protect them from fear of criticism or opposition, and remind them that doing what's right is more important than doing what's popular. We pray that they would walk in boldness, guided by your Spirit. And we pray also, Lord, that you would raise up Christians in this city to positions of leadership. And we pray for this church, Lord, and for all who've been called into leadership here at Alderman's Green. For the trustees, for the executive committee, for everyone in a position of leadership, in whatever capacity, with the children, in home groups, with the finance, buildings, prayer, the cafe, and so many others. Father, we pray for wisdom and discernment, to know what to pick up and what to put down. We pray for spiritual strength and courage when it's tiring, when it feels burdensome. Courage to keep going and even do a new thing. We pray for protection, for body, mind, and spirit, for them and for their families. We pray for humility and integrity. We pray that they would deepen their journey, their relationship with you, Lord. And we pray for unity, because your word says that it's unity that draws other people to Jesus. So we pray for current leaders here, and indeed future leaders, that you would be at work raising up future leaders too. We thank you that you have a vision for this body of Christ here. Help us to continue to support and encourage one another. Amen. We're going to sing again, yeah? Going to bring our reading. So, yes.
Morning, everybody. God bless you. Right, from Ephesians 4:11-16, from the New International Version. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speak the truth of love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Hebrews 13:17-21. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honourably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. benediction and final greetings. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
The other way, is it? Yeah, that's the one I want. William Booth, I don't know if that name is familiar to people, the founder of the Salvation Army, which now has 1.7 million members in over 133 different countries. And every year, just in the UK, helps hundreds of thousands of people. General William Booth was once interviewed, and the interviewer asked him to reveal the secret of his success. And after some hesitation, tears came to his eyes, and he said this, "I'll tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I have, men with greater opportunities. But from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and caught a vision of what Jesus could do with them, on that day, I made up my mind that God should have all of William Booth there was." That quote led the interviewer to remark, "I learned from William Booth that day that the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender." I don't know if you ever think sometimes about great leaders like that who started amazing kind of movements for Christ, that there must have been that moment in their life where they thought, "Shall I do this? Shan't I do this?" and made that decision to take that risk and go all in for God. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to say, "God guides my life." But if we're honest, how surrendered are we? Because if the church, if you think about it, is or should be a body of surrenderers. Becoming a follower of Christ means accepting his lordship in our life, whoever we are, and understanding that our life is not our own, but there is one who is worth surrendering to, because he represents truth and hope and peace that the world can't give. And the church in its purest form is a group of people united in common surrender to Christ. And Christ is head of that body because his was the ultimate surrender, wasn't it? It says in Philippians 2, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. And since that ultimate surrender, Christ waits, ready to give life to the full to anyone who surrenders to him. And we do that the first time when we become Christians, but we do it also every day, as William Booth did. We surrender our goals, our relationships, our finances, our careers, our bodies, everything. This is what church is, a body of Christ, a body of people each surrendered to Christ and committed to serving him first and each other next. And I make this point at the start of what I'm saying because the rest of what I say only really makes sense or can work when it's seen and lived out in that reality, if you like. It was William Booth who caught God's vision, but he didn't bring it to reality on his own, did he? Others got behind him, others support him, others caught that vision and followed him under Christ's leadership. They brought their surrendered selves to that same vision. And today I want to remind us that one specific aspect of what it means to live out that attitude of mutual surrender in the context of the local church, where God has placed us, is to support those who lead us to bring God's vision for Alderman's Green to reality. And I'm not saying, by saying what I'm saying, I'm not in any way inferring that you're not doing that. I'm sure you are an extremely supportive church, but I feel I could share this message in any church across our city this morning. And I'm also, of course, preaching to myself. But I believe I have been prompted to remind us all of the importance of surrendering all we are every day to Jesus. And then, in the context of the church setting in which we've been placed, supporting and praying for those in leadership. Because there is a power that can be unleashed for a small church such as we are, if we get this right. And on reflection, I don't think we hear about this very often. I think quite often church leaders, when they're in their own churches, don't want to speak about it for fear of, you know, inferring that they're not, the church isn't supportive. But I do think it's timely that we reflect on it a bit. And maybe as a non-member, I have a bit of freedom to do that others might not. So I want to explore this notion that enhancing the support we give to the church leadership plays an important role in seeing God's name lifted high in and through this fellowship here. And in one sense, of course, we are all leaders. We all have influence of some sort on those around us, our families, our friends, our work lives, any groups that we attend. Sociologists I read this week tell us that even the most introverted person influences 10,000 people in their life. So we all need to think about what God expects of us and how he gracefully and mercifully equips us for the leadership influence roles that we all hold. And whilst I am going to talk about supporting church leadership, I also want to acknowledge the importance of praying, continuing to pray, as we already have done, for leadership generally. Because the Bible has a huge amount to say about how, as God's people, we have to support and pray for those in authority. Praying for our national leaders, praying for international leaders. That is what we are commanded to do, because they have the power to create the context for gospel sharing and making disciples, our great commission. And ultimately, we know that Jesus is the ruler of all the kings of the earth, don't we? So, why and how do we go about supporting those in leadership in our churches better? A more seasoned church leader asked a new church leader how he was finding his new position. And the new leader said, well, trying to lead this church is like trying to take a cat for a walk. Most of us know that it's a rare cat who likes being taken for a walk. Mostly they respond badly to any attempt to suggest they might like to do anything anyone else tells them to do. They look slightly offended, and they do the opposite. And it does make me wonder sometimes if we as Christians can be a little bit like that. We heard two passages from the New Testament. And in the first one, in Ephesians 4, That's from a letter where Paul is writing to, he's writing all about how we can be the body of Christ that God wants us to be. How can we function as mature Christians, each recognizing their responsibility to focus on him first, put our hope in him above everything else, and then support those around us. Such a body of people, it claims, will celebrate unity, a unity that we are encouraged to guard and will attract other people to Jesus. And into that powerful picture of what the body of Christ would look like, Paul says Christ allocates gifts to each individual. In verse 11 it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." So these are divinely appointed roles. That's the picture of a mature, functioning church. And the next verse tells us why Christ appointed people to those tasks. The key is not that some people in the church would be the special ones, but actually quite the opposite. In verse 12 it says, "For the equipping of his people for works of ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up." So these roles exist so that the whole body might be built up, so that every individual might be equipped for service. God raises up and calls leaders. It's what he's always done from Old Testament and Moses onwards. He sees us as sheep in need of a shepherd. He's our ultimate good shepherd, of course. But don't forget that Jesus himself, before he left earth, he said to Peter, "Look after my sheep." And he hasn't stopped calling shepherds ever since. The second passage we read was from Hebrews 13, and it comes just after that amazing passage where the writer recounts so many heroes of faith, people who were the embodiment of hope for those around them. And it's a passage where the author is giving practical advice to a young church about how they can model Christ in a way that echoes those heroes of faith, living out their hope in a way that hope helps them to grow to maturity that is pleasing to God. And into that, the author appeals to the readers and says, "Have confidence in, obey, and submit to your leaders." Because it says, they watch out for your souls. They keep watch over your lives. So these are God-given structures of responsibility within churches. There is a biblical basis for holding leaders in high regard. And of course, as I said earlier, we know that the Bible has so much more to say about the model of leadership that it expects from Christians, not just in church, but in any context of life, whether that's in work or family or with neighbours, the community, wherever we lead, influence as Christians, God equips us for the task in his strength. That's the promise. And he expects that we model Christ, servant leadership, emulating Christ's model of servanthood. Leaders who are models of humility and integrity of heart. It's both a huge privilege and a massive responsibility to have any position of responsibility and influence, and we need to rely on him always for wisdom and strength and guidance and so much more. And as far as being a leader in this church is concerned, even if you feel like you're very familiar with the role, maybe you've done it yourself, but I can say from my experience that there are constantly new challenges. Our faith doesn't change, of course, but our world changes, our culture changes, our legislation changes, our communities change, our context changes. And that presents new challenges for leadership all the time. Leadership need to balance keeping things going and looking out for everybody, stewarding your resources, but also ensuring they move forward, they listen to God and hear his voice about the direction of the church going forwards. And I hope that your leadership's experience, as ours is that God really does bless and provide what is needed. And I'm sure they're extremely thankful to God for you and for the support that everyone gives. But it's not inappropriate to remind everybody occasionally that it is hard sometimes. They really do need our ongoing support. So how can we do that better? Well, I think you probably can guess what I'm going to say. It's not rocket science. Primarily, it is about prayer, and the practical comes after that. But in that passage in Hebrews that we read from, the next verse, after the author has implored the readers to submit to leadership, he continues with an exclamation, and it's just three words long. Pray for us. It almost feels like he's screaming it off the page. Because we've got this letter to the Hebrews, author we don't actually know who it is, but the mere fact that they're writing it probably means they are a leader somewhere. And it feels they are crying out this plea, pray for us. Because I think they, like any Christian in leadership anywhere, knows that that is their lifeblood. We know that Paul also, in his letter to the Romans, pleads with the readers to join him in his struggle by praying to God for him. Prayer is so crucial. And if I ask any of you whether you feel it's important to pray for Christian leaders, I'm sure you'd all say yes. We all know we need to do it. But I don't think I'm the only one who regularly forgets to do it also. So maybe I'm urging us, just in the coming week maybe, to take that as a focus for your prayers, in whatever way works for you. You know, choose a day to pray for your leaders. As a home group, pray for your leaders. Find out when their next leadership meeting is. Pray at the same time. I heard from Nicky Gumbel, who's used to be the vicar at Holy Trinity Brompton, a big church in London. He said, every Monday morning, an elderly gentleman in their congregation used to ring the church office and say, okay, vicar, what's in the calendar this week? What do I need to pray for? And he'd take down a list of all that was happening. And Nicky Gumbel knew that that prayer warrior was praying into everything that was going on in that church. What amazing support to give. Here are four things that we can pray for if we want to support our leaders. The first one is unity. Pray for unity in decision making. What are the big decisions, perhaps, that your leaders might need to make in the not too distant future? Your way forward as a church, maybe it's around how you use your finances or your buildings or how you reach out to your community. Pray for unity, because as I've said already, the Bible says, and Jesus prayed it, didn't he, before he died, that his people would be united so that others would be attracted to Jesus. That is what draws people to Jesus. Pray for protection from the enemy. We're in a spiritual battle, aren't we? We know that. And we felt this as a leadership team, especially recently. Pray for your leaders for healthy body, minds, and spirit. Pray for their families. Pray for protection over them. Pray for wisdom in all things, but especially in how leaders attribute their time. I've been a deacon in my own church for well over a decade now, and hands down, this is the biggest challenge that I think we have faced. Because as church leaders, there is always plenty of practical stuff to be discussing, to making decisions about. The running of the church, the car parks, the buildings, the children's work, the safeguarding, all those things that are so important and that we want to do carefully and prayerfully and with integrity and mindful that we are stewards of all that God has given us. But as leaders, we're also called to discern his will for the future. to take time out and have nothing on the agenda sometimes and just listen for his voice. And we're actually all called to do that, aren't we? To hear that still small voice of what God is saying to us and how he wants to guide us. And as leaders, it's so difficult to get that balance right. The practical stuff always seems to take priority. So pray for wisdom and intentionality to lead well and to listen for that voice of God and how he's guiding you as a fellowship. And pray for encouragement. Because there are times, and sometimes not infrequent times, where as a member of a leadership, it can feel like the task is just too heavy, like the rucksack has just got too many bricks in it. And there are other times where it's a complete privilege. You feel the sense that God has put you in this place for this time, and you're overwhelmed by how good he is. And I'm convinced that it is prayer that makes the difference in that. So pray for encouragement. Pray and keep praying. Pray boldly, pray expectantly. And pray for those leading in other areas of church life, you know, whatever it is, those giving their time and talent to serve in any way, whether it's leading your young people, whether it's leading home groups, the music, arranging speakers, doing the admin, so many roles that you are all involved in, that people gracefully and humbly carry out to serve him and others. Pray his blessing on each of you, his strength and his spirit. The secret to seeing Jesus lifted high in our communities is that we, as his church, get on our knees. And when we pray and make that a priority, the practical then generally follows. So if a leader in any ministry, in my experience, if they stand up and ask for help, it's because they've got to the limits of what they're able to do. So if we can, let's not wait for someone else to step up. Let's put our hands up. We can't all help physically. We can't all help practically, I know, but don't underestimate how that word of encouragement makes such a difference. That text, that email, that conversation, that thank you really does make a difference. So let's be the church that Jesus called us to be. First of all, let's ensure that we are all fully surrendered to Jesus every day, intentional about how we live that out. Let's model godly leadership where we are, in those people, with those people we have influence over. And let's model godly vision of what church should be by supporting our leadership primarily in prayer. And then additionally, each of us bringing our gifts, playing our part as we are able. If we can do that, then that creates the context where we're best placed to live out the Great Commission of making disciples, bringing the love and the hope of Jesus to our hurting communities. Amen. We just pray before we're going to sing again in a minute, but let's just pray as we continue. Jesus, firstly, we come to you in thanks and praise because you gave it all. The only reason we stand before you is because Christ gave everything for us. You surrendered your life voluntarily that each one of us might live. So we thank you, Jesus, for your death for us. And in response to that, we recommit ourselves to you. We surrender our lives, all that we are. We're sorry, Lord, for the bits that we've held back. Take it all, Lord. Mold us, shape us to be more like Jesus. And we thank you that you made us to live in community. As your church, we represent your body here on earth, the priesthood of all believers. Thank you for this church at Alderman's Green. Thank you for all those who've gone before, who faithfully served. Honour them for that service and the foundations that we now build on. And thank you that you have led certain individuals to take positions of leadership at this point in time. Thank you for the leadership here, for the trustees, for the executive committee, for all those who carry a responsibility in any capacity. For all those who bring of themselves and of their giftings. We pray your hand on their lives. We pray for unity. We pray for wisdom. Pray for encouragement. We pray for protection. Fill us with that desire and that urgency to keep them in our prayers. And help us to be expectant. Help us to be encouraging body of Christ here, modeling the church that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing now about our surrender.
Thank you.
want to stay standing, and let's finish by speaking out a blessing over one another. So let's say together, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.